please. Father, as we open your word this morning, our hearts, our spirits, our mind, our very souls are open to hear from you. And so fill us, Father, with your word and with your wisdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. The purpose of this church is officially to equip the saints. And that means we try to grow up each other in Christ, understand more about Jesus, about the gospel, about salvation, and then we go out and we take that message to our neighbors and our people that we see, work with, go to school with, visit with, and share the word with them, that they might come in and be equipped to do the same thing. And so it's a cycle that goes on and on and on. And so, as a rule, pastors that fill this pulpit preach an equipping type message. I'm going to vary that a little bit this morning and preach a salvation message, an evangelistic message, which is an invitation for you to, if you're not a Christian, to become a Christian, and if you are, certainly to grow, to begin to truly let the Lord be the Lord of your life. The passage this morning is from the book of Hosea. You'll remember that Hosea was asked by the Lord to marry a woman who was of ill repute, who continued to have relationships with other men. Hosea forgave his wife over and over and over again, and she continued to sin. And we're going to see what God has to tell us. I'm in Hosea chapter 9 and verse 17. And I'm only going to read part of this verse. So our lesson this morning is really just six words. From Hosea 9:17. My God will reject them because... And I'm going to stop right there. We're going to talk about the because. Carol has told me that it's interesting to her that boiling water can soften a carrot, but harden an egg. Another example is the sun. When it shines on clay, it hardens it, but when it shines on ice, it melts it. And so, in the same way, this hardening and this softening always occurs every time when the gospel message goes out. If you share the gospel, of which I'm not ashamed, with any person, their heart is going to become softer and closer to the Lord, or it's going to become harder and reject God. There are people that you may know who have heard the gospel message who have said, no, I don't want any part of it. It's a dangerous thing to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you reject it repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly, for 10 years, for 20 years, even 50 years, then it is very difficult to ever say yes. In fact, statistics will show that it's very seldom that a person over the age of 55 surrenders his life to the Lord. I know a few people who are over 55 who have done that. But if you've been rejecting Jesus, if you've been rejecting the gospel, if you've been rejecting God's word for years and years and years, your heart becomes hardened against the gospel, hardened against Jesus, hardened against the word, hardened against any kind of religion. You say no. You come to church maybe and you leave talking about the church, you leave talking about the pastor, you leave talking about the people in the church. It's so difficult. Why do people do that? Here's what I think. I think that they're reaping the harvest of all of the years that they've rejected Christ. And the more you reject him, the harder your heart will get. I think of Pharaoh, who was became very envious and jealous of the Israelites in Egypt. They became very numerous and almost were overpowering. And Pharaoh said, make them work hard. Don't give them any straw. Make them go out and get everything that they would normally, and double their amount that they have to produce. Make it very difficult for them. Of course, that's when Moses came along, because God had directed him there and said to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart was hard against the Israelites, very hard. And for 10 different miracles, as each one occurred, Pharaoh became harder and harder and harder against the Israelites, to the point that it says that God hardened his heart. We know the result. We know that the Israelites took gold and jewelry and clothing from the Egyptians. They gave it to them freely, and they left, and the Egyptian army came after them and was inundated by the waters of the Red Sea when it closed in upon them. A hard heart. And so the scripture this morning has a warning for just about any kind of person. All throughout the Old Testament, God gives reasons of why people turn away from him. He says, my God will reject you, will reject them because, and you have to fill in the blank. I'll stop there and let you fill in the blank if it's in your life. There are other verses in the Old Testament that say the same thing. There's always a reason why, and there's always the responsibility, and it never rests on God. He's always pleading and pleading and pleading with you. And so when a man or a woman is finally lost, when there's no hope, it'll be in spite of God's mercy and his pleadings. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is what he wants. That's God's position. It always has been. It always will be. There's another scripture that's very familiar. That's from John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. Jesus says, you diligently study the scripture because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And so if you are ultimately lost, finally lost, then the responsibility is upon you and no one else. You can't blame somebody else. The Old Testament provides a marvelous story of God. If you take the New Testament away and just look at the Old Testament, at our Friday morning men's Bible study, we talked about that. What does the Old Testament say about God if you didn't have the New Testament? Well, you'd be amazed at the story. He had a yearning for people in the garden. He said, where are you? He had a yearning for the Israelites over and over and over again. He extended his love for them. He wanted them to follow his ways. He was a God who cared for his people. But if you turn to the New Testament, then you see God incarnate. You see him in the flesh. You see Jesus healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind and blessing little children and comforting mothers and offering peace to fathers. And then he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And you'll never understand the compassion of God the Father until you see Jesus the Son. That makes this revelation complete. Jesus provided the last and the total description of God. You look at Jesus, you'll see his love, you'll see his compassion, you'll see the love that he had when you see the blood that's on his brow and the lashes that are on his back and the agony in his heart as he went to the cross, seeking again and again and again for people to follow him. and you put the Old Testament and the New Testament together, and how can you say, I don't understand? I can say, how can a person resist this pleading of the Word, this pleading of God the Father, this pleading of Jesus the Son? Yes, Hosea was his heart was broken because of his wife. Her betrayal would be more than any of us could handle, and yet he continued to love her. He pardoned her, only to be betrayed again. This is how God looked at the Israelites. They sinned against him. They rejected him. And he continued to forgive them and forgive them and forgive them and call on them to accept his love. And yet, Hosea's wife rejected his love. Israel rejected God's love. Some people have sinned against their mother's love. Many have sinned against God's love. It's sad that you can do it and that you continue to do it. My God has rejected them because, and we know why. It's an awful thing to reject, for Israel to have rejected God. He'd done so much for that nation. There are verses in the Old Testament that show men drifting from God. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you. They refuse to know. We refuse to know when we refuse to open up God's Word and understand and listen to Him. We have taken up with other things in this world. We've turned a deaf ear to God and to His Word. A deaf ear. I think the first step in turning away, and I'm talking about people who are not Christians, and I'm also talking about people who call themselves Christians, who come to church on some regular basis. And I say some regular basis. There are some in this church who are very irregular. I'm always excited when they come. I know they must feel awkward. You know, I haven't been here for a month or 2 months or 3 months, and I don't want to come in and join the crowd because they'll look at me in shame. I've never seen that occur for any of us when somebody has been missing for some time and comes back. But people find other things to do that takes their time. And so the first step, I think, of turning away is being preoccupied with something else. People are preoccupied with trifling things, small things, minor things, things that have no importance in this world. There are people who are trying to get rich. There's nothing wrong with trying to get rich, but the first thing you need to make sure is that you have the answer to the eternal questions in your own life. People are looking for pleasure, the pursuit of pleasure. There's nothing wrong with pursuing pleasure, but you need to make sure about your eternal security first. And so Jesus said, you know, that if your right hand is in the way, or your right eye is in the way, then you need to cut off your right hand and pluck out your eye, because it's better to be in heaven with a limp and with one eye than to be in hell with both eyes and both hands. You don't want to be focusing on the things that have nothing to do with eternity. You may be occupied with other things, such as sin. Maybe there's sin in your life that takes your time and makes it awkward to be a part of the fellowship, makes it awkward to spend time in the Word, makes it awkward to pray to a God asking for forgiveness when you're caught up in some sin, have no desire to get out of it. It takes away the taste of God's Word. It takes away the power of your prayers. And so you end up criticizing the pastor and the church and everybody that's there. You're preoccupied with other things. But the real question is from Mark 8:36. What good is it for man to gain the whole world, riches and pleasures, and yet forfeit his soul? God says that he can free us from sin. He can transform our lives, give us a new heart, make us a new creation, change our lives, help us resist evil, give us an unending eternity. But people dismiss God's word with a sneer. I don't need that. I'm a self-made man. I have worked hard. I have riches. Those are of greater importance. Too preoccupied with other things. There are people missing this morning. I don't know where they are. I'm not going to ask them where they are. God knows where they are. God knows where they should be. I think there's a second reason that people drift away from God or reject Him, and that's indifference. They could care less. They don't respond to the pleadings of the pastor. They don't respond to the pleadings of their mother or their father or their Christian friends. Why don't these pleadings stir them? Why? Everything that they have in life that's good has been given to them by God. They have eyes to see, and they have ears to hear, and hands to use, and feet to walk through their journey of life. They have homes, they have wives, they have children. And for years, God has been pleading and pleading and pleading. But they have grown indifferent to Him. But you know, someday when there's a crisis in a person's life and maybe death stands knocking on the door, they won't be prepared to meet it. How can they ignore God's pleadings, His love, His compassion, His tenderness? How can they reject that? How can they be indifferent? Isaiah 65:12 says, I called you, I pleaded with you, but you did not answer. I spoke to you through your family, through friends, through Christians, but you did not listen. And so, through this indifference, you reject God. You reject His mercy. Proverbs, the first chapter says, but since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look to me, but will not find me. God says, I have rejected them because many reasons. And so the first step is preoccupation, where it seems that making money is more valuable than your soul. The second step is indifference. As a preacher pleads for you, your heart is like a stone. As your mother cries out for you and you show no emotion. I think the third step is then finally the willful rejection of Jesus Christ. The willful rejection of the gospel. Let me assure you that if you have heard the gospel message, you're in big trouble when you stand before God on Judgment Day. You cannot say, well, Jesus, I didn't know about you. I didn't know the gospel message. And He's going to say, yes, but do you remember that preacher that preached it one day? You remember that friend of yours that told you about Jesus? You have no excuse, and you will be committed to the pits of hell because of that. And so if you've ever shared the gospel message with someone and they rejected it, you have become their worst enemy because he can't stand and say, I've never heard it. Oh, yeah, Bill told me. Bill told you. Joe told you. Oh, man, wish he had not done that. Willful rejection. You knew about him, but you rejected because you didn't need him. You were a self-made man. You had worked hard. You had all the riches, the worldly possessions. You thought that Christianity was for foolish people, for weak people, for feeble people in this world, not for successful and prosperous people like me. I don't need anything. Look at me, I have it all. And so it is an awful thing to become indifferent to the pleadings of God. It isn't only a man's voice that speaking to you in a sermon, but you are willingly and willfully rejecting God. He's thrown a rope to you to save you, and you have, as you're sinking in life, but you grab it, then you let it go. He's reaching down with his hand to save you, and you turn from him, and you reject his saving hand. He's warning you that the path that you're traveling is dangerous, and it leads to destruction and eternal death. But you choose to close your ears. He puts a flashing light ahead of you, warning you that to change paths, but you close your eyes and you proceed down that same direction, this path of destruction. You turn your back on God. You reject him. God, have pity on you for rejecting him. You will stand one day at the door of death, and you won't be prepared. His love is infinite toward you. He called you when you were a boy. He called you as a young man. He called you when you stood at the altar to marry that little girl. He called you when you had your first child. He called you when that baby was being delivered. How can you be so indifferent? The last scripture that I will read has to do with blasphemy, total rejection, from Zechariah chapter 7. They refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the words or the law that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land was left so desolate behind them that no one could come or go. In fact, many of the lands were left that there were only jackals and ravens and scorpions and snakes were the only things that occupied it. He totally destroyed the northern kingdom, 10 of the 12 tribes. Totally destroyed it. And there is no northern kingdom today. We discovered that there is a group of people, I think somewhere around 2,000, if you think of the entire population of the world, there's about 2,000 that claim that their heritage goes back to the northern tribes. 2,000. Wiped off the face of the earth like Moab. The Moabites, like the Ammonites, totally wiped off. How many times have you rejected God? You sit here this morning, I hope you're not rejecting God. You have to stop and think. The question is not how many times you rejected him, or your mother, or your friends, but if it is God's call, how can you reject him? I believe the greatest sin that you can sin is to reject God's love. It can't be separated from pain. You know, when a mother has a sick child, she loves him, but she hurts for him. And if a child were to die, the pain would be indescribable. But when a child comes staggering home because of alcohol or drugs, there's no word that can describe her pain. God is like that about you. You thought you could dismiss him, but he loves you. He throws a rope to you, and you refuse to take it. It's like you're in the water. David Myers tells a story when he got caught in a storm and couldn't. He thought he was near death. God reaches down his hand and says, "Take my hand, and I will pull you out. I will not let you go." But people reach up for it and say, "No, I don't want him. I want something else." And so they reject. This rope that he throws, you break it. You break every strand of it. Your father prayed for you, and your mother loved you, but you broke a strand. Another strand is the sermon that a preacher preaches when you were younger, but you broke that strand. The only sin that is unpardonable, and that is a sin against God's love. Total rejection. Hell is not a place where God puts men. Hell is a place where men put themselves. Totally responsible. You are totally accountable for your own life. And so God says, it says, my God will reject them because. What is the rest of that sentence that you would put? Has God rejected you because of your walk, the walking the wrong way, because of your preoccupation with other things? You don't have time for church, there's too many other things, you don't have time for prayer, reading the Word, honoring Him in any way. You call yourself a Christian, an ambassador. I wonder if He really wants you as an ambassador. Fill in the answer. And so today, if you hear His voice, even if you believe that you're a Christian, I ask you to not harden your heart, but to listen to Him. Seek the Lord while He can be found. Call on His name while He's near. And I would hope that you would be able to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Pray with me.